Welcome to today's episode. It's Thursday, March 28th, Piano Day for anyone interested, 88th day of the year as in 88 keys. Usually that falls on March 29th, however, with a leap year, it's special. And on this podcast, we are here to discuss the pilot of Davy and Jonesy's Locker, a sci-fi teen comedy streaming on Hulu in the US, Amazon Prime elsewhere. You Don't Belong Here is the title of the first episode. It's about Davy and Jonesy, two high school sophomores who stage a protest that ends in chaos, them fleeing from accountability, ending up in their shared locker, which leads them into a multiverse.
I only saw a few scenes of the show, but even from those few scenes, I have multiple things that it reminded me of, and I wanted to go through them and see if you could see where
you
want to
go through them one by one.
Well, yeah, I have over mine.
I have my own comparisons. Let's see if any of them sync up.
Okay, so the first one I had was Futurama.
Oh, because the mom.
Yes, the evil organization.
You got to understand, in this first episode, we don't get a lot of mom. Mom is the organization that is sent after the variants. So they become variants at the end of the episode because they lead their own universe.
Like Loki?
Yes, that's why I'm calling them that. And in the mom system, it gets a flag and then they send an agent after them. Okay. But in the first episode, barely any of that. Next.
Ghosts.
Ghost?
Yes.
Why ghost?
The science teacher literally has a ton of different ghosts of himself, doesn't he? And they're also
those
like
are not ghosts. Those are just versions of him in different universes. You saw Invincible season 2, yes?
Yes.
At the very beginning, that's a very similar premise. There's a guy who's trying to create a portal to all the worlds so that he can step in and out of them, right? Mm-hmm. Super genius. And that's kind of what you're seeing in the science room with Mr. Schneider. At the end, he makes the portal, but it ends up in the wrong place. It ends up in Davy and Jonesy's locker. Hence okay. The title of the show. And then that's where they end up going as opposed to him.
Evil science teacher. I have Fairly Odd Parents.
Okay. So yeah, we're getting into the high school tropes. This show reminded me a lot of Chad, Pen 15, Awkward. But the evil teacher is definitely a trope we've seen. Goosebumps, Todd, and the Book of Pure Evil. That was more of a guidance counselor being evil. But Mr. Schneider originally seems like he could be an evil dude, but in the end, it seems like he's actually going to be trying to help the two girls get back to their universe if mm-hmm. he can. And there really isn't like a big villain because everybody's sort of wanting them to get back to their own universe except for them. They are on the run away from their own universe because of how much they screw up in this first episode.
Huh, okay. So yeah. In that case, it's almost kind of like Rick and Morty, where Rick is so depressed that he usually goes to any other place aside from kind of his home. But I also had Everything Everywhere All at Once / American Born Chinese because it's more of the multiverse craziness angle.
I think you're giving this show too much credit because the first episode hardly touches upon the multiverse. Yes, we have the on-running joke where every time you go to the science teacher classroom, he's talking to a bunch of different versions of himself, one of which is a golden retriever, one of my favorite parts of the show. However, the majority of it is just Davy and Jonesy having some like angsty teen, like just being upset with the world, wanting to leave high school, and the principal being just overbearing in that she pulls them into the principal's office and then she tells them, you guys are too close. You guys have too much of a friendship going on and we're going to have to see you socialize with other people. So I'm going to assign you to the dance committee after school.
What principal in the world sees two like best friends out and says, oh, you guys are spending too much time with each other?
I didn't know my principal from my high school. So this is very strange. Like usually it would be the vice principal's job to do disciplinary things or maybe a guidance counselor.
Well, what discipline? It doesn't even seem like, are they getting bad
grades?
Well,
the scary thing is that the principal then offers to call their parents and tell them to transfer schools. And I don't understand what like bar they must have like hit in order to cause that. Like this isn't a zero tolerance thing. They haven't brought in a gun in the school or drugs or anything like that. It's just the fact that these two girls are enjoying each other's company too much. I don't know.
I mean,
man.
It seems like the principal in that case is supposed to be evil. It's actually played
it's
by the creator of the series.
Oh, okay, that's the creator. I haven't seen a principal have less to do in her job than say since maybe The Big Prize Door, because in that show I believe she gets a motorcycle and she just starts riding it around town the entire time as opposed to working with the kids at all. So at least this principal is a one-on-one component with her students. However, this high school seems to be made up of about 50 kids as opposed to the thousands or hundreds that it would normally be, and all of them seem to be theater kids. So like all of them attend the dance. All of them are in the hallways at all times. Like, you don't see a huge cast. It kind of reminded me of Todd and the Book of Pure Evil with how low this budget is. It seems like it was produced on the budget of a peanut.
They only shot it on one camera.
Yes.
It reminds me, just from the stills I saw and the scenes when you're talking about musical numbers and things like that, something cheesy like School Spirits, which was the show about the kid who ended up dying.
School Spirits had a cool premise, though. She dies. She finds out. She thinks she was murdered, right?
Yes.
Or she figures out that she was murdered, and all the other ghosts of the other spirits that hang out in the high school kind of help her throughout the season figure out who did it. Bigger budget, more school.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it mostly took place just inside the school, and it seems like this was doing the same thing.
No, but don't you remember, I didn't watch it like you did, but like there was the big auditorium, there was the boiler room, there was the outdoors part.
Yep.
In this, we get a hallway and we get an auditorium, and that's the equivalent of everything. I feel like a sophomore in high school could have written, produced this, and actually put it out there, and that would be impressive. It's like Chad Vader, that old YouTube series.
From
if
like
this had just been an online series, it would be very successful. I would like it. I would like to see what they did after they got the budget of a Hulu series.
But it's the fact that it's on Hulu.
It's the fact that like this first episode barely introduces you to the premise of the show, and it makes multiverse so lame and boring. It's like Bill and Ted's lamest adventure, as opposed to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I was thinking, but, from what I saw, that yeah. Bill and Ted Face the Music, it reminded me, if you remember in the third movie, they both had daughters played by Samara Weaving and Bridget Lundy Payne, and I was thinking that maybe those two had the same dynamic, because I know that the show is supposed to really center on their friendship, and yes, even got they've gotten praise for being the main characters.
I can't even give them praise for being the main characters, because they're not doing anything. They're just complaining the entire time. The end of the first episode is they do this protest by going behind the curtain in the middle of the dance, putting on a chicken mask, putting on a horse mask, walking out there doing a cringy TikTok dance, which like barely any music. They have to play it on their phone. Everybody is like stunned in how bad it is. And then they light something on fire, or it actually catches something on fire. This is all an accident, which causes the sprinklers to go off. And then like most of the kids are upset that this messes with their hair. And then they start chasing them. And that's why they're run into the locker for safety, I guess.
And yeah, so it's called Davy and Jonesy's Locker.
Yeah.
Do they share a locker in this?
I'd said that at the beginning. Yes, they're so close that they just share lockers. And that was a normal thing back in the day. But this is my biggest complaint of the show. And it's my biggest complaint of all high school shows at this point, because they keep doing it and they have no, like, even movies, I think, do it. 90% of high schools are shown to still have lockers. When I went to high school in the aughts, and when you went to high school in the tens, what do they call those? Anyway, the teens?
I say 2010s.
The 2010s, that makes sense. Neither of our high schools had lockers at that point. This is an article that came out pretty recently. Locker shocker, growing number of schools eliminate the metal boxes. Did I say recently? I meant LA Times 1989. So that's over 35 years ago. Lockers grow rare as schools seek to save. That was from the Orlando Sentinel 1995. So at least a little more recent. Lockers are on the wane as icon of U.S. schools. Okay, this is back in 1994. You could find a billion of these articles back then. The last time that lockers were relevant, like actually relevant, I want you to hear this. The scrutiny of the high school lockers also testified to the high place one Elvis Presley occupies in the hearts of schoolgirls. In Burnham High School, which was inspected yesterday, that's right, they did like inspections because like drug dogs would go through and people, I think they checked them like once a year.
There was a
schools.
Shield episode just like this, yeah.
Yeah, and that was took place in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well over half the girls' lockers prominently displayed pictures of rock and roll king who appeared here Thanksgiving Day. So apparently Elvis had gone to a high school. There were one or two pictures of the late James Dean, the movie star, and one individualist had a large photo of Arthur Godfrey. I should have looked up who that guy was. television personality. This was in the Toledo Blade, Wednesday, November 28th, 1956.
Wow.
This is boomer. Like, it's not a boomer who made the show. I doubt that the person who made the show, the principal in this series, had a locker in her high school. But I think because there were two things that happened. First, they thought Davy and Jonesy would be a perfect two set name, mm-hmm. even though this has nothing to do with the abyss of the ocean. And then they were like, well, I think they just did it because of the name. And the problem is that the title doesn't have any other gimmick to it other than what it's got. You know,
when I think about it, I think about like things like 13 Reasons Why or Euphoria or even something animated like Big
Does
Mouth.
Does Euphoria have lockers?
I think they might. And also it's been renewed for season 3, even though there's rumors that it was going to be canceled after season 3.
The maintenance cost associated for schools with lockers, the amount of clogging that it does with kids, unreasonable searches, like there would be a new case every year, which whether or not they had the justification to go into a kid's locker. There was a funny article that I was looking for, like the earliest one I could find on like when lockers became a thing. And there was an article from like the 20s or 30s where a guy had gone in and stolen $1.35 and he was written up in the paper for it because he was because that was a lot of money back then.
I had gym lockers, but again, those were like half the size of actual.
That would make this show a little bit more interesting if they were trying to squeeze into a gym locker every time that they had to switch universes, because those things were like half the size, right?
So you're saying that just these characters, they go to these different worlds, it gets too much for them.
No. You're, again, jumping ahead. That's all episode 2. And I did watch episode 2, not so I could talk about it right now, but basically, because this first episode kind of sucked. Like, it just, I've seen Disney specials with more guts than this one. Like, it felt so PG, and it also felt like it was trying to be progressive, but at the same time, angsty, and it was so boring because you just saw that one of the girls has a crush. All the characters have one trait associated. There's, like, the queen bee, or the one that is the main rival to them. There's the soft-spoken but crazy one. There's one that's just effortlessly cool, but
it feels like these are eighth grade, like the Bo Burnham movie eighth grade, that because they took stereotypes and basically made them all into one character depending on who it was. Is that a fair comparison?
I guess the night dance is called A Night of Enchanted Tolerance, which which earns a roll of the eyes from both our main characters because we're all because they're supposed to be progressive, but like obviously that's not the type of progressive right. they're talking. That's just everybody is a sheep to them. That was the premise of what they're trying to say with their dance.
This just feels like it's book smart also, because the two characters in that, it seemed like they were only really cool to each other, but they look at everyone else and they really.
If you like a lot of eye rolls, if you like, I guess, 90s Disney Halloween specials where they kind of do something goofy in it, you might be into this show. But even then, I would recommend skipping this first episode. The principal doesn't make sense as a character. The motive of like them being afraid that they're going to get transferred out for doing absolutely really nothing wrong. Like even if you did accidentally light something on fire, but you weren't, it was clearly not on purpose. Like no one's going to kick you out of that school. It's strange. 3.5 for me.
3.5 out of 10.
Yeah, 3.5 out of 10. The other joke, I'll say the golden retriever was funny with Schneider. Schneider does seem like he would probably be my favorite character by the end. However, in this first episode, he's also very cringy. And then Glimmerdale, it's supposed to Riverdale, one of their locker has a picture that just has Glimmerdale on it. It's like so AI'd.
I'm sad that you're giving it a 3.5 because I thought maybe with the multiverse angle and the way that Hulu was promoting this for the past week, it was going to be a kid's show, but it does.
It's sliders, but dumb sliders, you know, like they're trying to get back home by the end of this. But because the first episode so poorly defines these guys, what they need to do is they need to give you something to connect every character to so that when they flip universes, you'll know exactly who they are still and how different they are in these other universes. But by doing it that way, it just feels so simple. And it could have been a lot better.
Primetime said that it needs to be more weird and more outlandish, but above all, ultimately,
it needs to be more vulgar. It needs to be more like Todd in the Book of Pure Evil. If it really wanted an audience, because you have to distance yourself these days with all the kid shows that are out there, and if you're trying to pull them away from just regular Disney and Nickelodeon, and that's who this is for, then you're going to need something other. And I'm not saying make it vulgar for them, but I'm saying your audience, you're not going to pick up that niche of an audience this way, I don't think.
So you're saying that it shouldn't be a kid's show, it should have the TVMA rating and should actually then focus on the story.
I think it would have made it a lot funnier, and I certainly would have preferred that. However, who knows, maybe in the last few episodes they pull it all together and all the universes start making sense. it's just more, I don't really care if they do or not, if they get back home or if they don't. They're in universe 6689. Good luck to that universe. What universe do you think number we would be in if we had a number?
I know that it's too hard to say because Avengers goes by their own way of counting.
And they've done several, I think. Like, I think Feige has confirmed a couple. And the first person I heard, like, argue with him was Miss Marvel, the one who was, like, obsessed as a fan before she was even cast. You know what I'm talking about.
Iman Vellani.
Yes, probably. All right. She would belong in this show. Like, she could probably make it better.
I was surprised to learn that DC actually had the multiverse angle before Marvel did in the comics.
I do believe Batman went back to try to save his parents, right?
It was actually The Flash, and it was back in 1961.
Of course The Flash, because we just got the movie, and they kind of did the same thing there, too.
And then,
why didn't he grab Batman on the way out? Like, because it was his tutor, right? And he does appear in this. Could you imagine if The Flash had been like, hey, we can save my parents, we can save your parents. And then everybody with dead parents,
but
hop on.
It wasn't the film. This was a completely different story where Barry Allen was teleported to Keystone City and met the Golden Age Flash, Jay Garrick, which apparently spawned off into Crisis on Infinite Earths or something like that. And then apparently there was a series in Marvel called Strange Tales, number 103, where one of the Fantastic Four is like transported into the fifth dimension. That's supposed to be the first time that multiverse happens in there.
Did we segue into like a completely different show?
I did a lot of research just on multiverse
and
stories.
I did a lot of research on lockers.
Emily Pickford, she plays Cheryl. We haven't mentioned her that much.
Yeah, because she's not in it that much.
She's not in it?
She works for Mom.
Oh,
She's one of the villains. And the only reason I really know that is because of episode 2. So I guess, spoiler for episode 2, she sort of plays a villain, but she's more just like the time police, where she's looking to try to put these people back, and someone gets turned into a cucumber.
I mean, it seems like crazy stuff.
Yes,
happens.
It's goofy. Randomly, it'll be goofy. But at the same time, you have to manage that with 3 to 5 minute cringy dance sequences where they're supposed to be cringy. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to see them and kind of not feel good about what you're seeing. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea.
Emily Pickford, she was in Mike Flanagan's kids series, The Midnight Club, which came out in 2022. And then Dan Byrne as Mr. Schneider, the high school science teacher, was from Cabinet of Curiosities, I think the third episode.
So we got a cabinet and we got a locker. What's next?
Well, also, he was in Gen V as Social Media Jeff. And I know that you watched the series for that. But then if you want to talk about the main actors, actually Jaylen Thora Brooks, who plays Jonesy, this is her first big TV role. And Veronica Slowakowska, who plays Davey, was in Degrassi Next Generation, What We Do in the Shadows. And even if
Slowakowska, that's Polish, I think, because ska and ski. But yeah.
Yeah, and she was in a movie that I saw over a year ago called I Like Movies. I think the last time I bought that up was when we were reviewing Miss Davis, which had something to do with a cat, right, in Schrodinger?
Yeah, I feel like they just named the high school that because they wanted to put another, like, oh, look, it's a science-y thing mixed in with the multiverse.
But it doesn't
Mr. Schneider, if you ever looked at the blackboard behind him when he was talking to all the versions of him, he had a bunch of math in the back. However, I don't think that was high school math. They were talking about photons and stuff, and so I think they were just trying to, like, signal at the fact that he had created something with the time travel. It also was hinted that the high school principal might have a thing for the science teacher. He's the only teacher that we see in the entire thing. All the kids are in the hallways all the time. He's the only teacher we see. The school is just so strange.
He reminds me of the science teacher, even though you said he wasn't evil. The same science teacher from Clone High, who had like the robot as his assistant.
Yeah, no, at first it's like a left uncertain because he comes in there and he doesn't even pronounce their names right. He's like, hey, Davis and Johnny's. And they were like, you know, that's not our names. I guess that was a funny joke, too. Okay. So, yeah, but still a 3.5. Anything else?
No.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Hope you enjoyed this one. Bye.
Bye.